Welcome to Behind the Story, a program where we take you straight to the source. In July, KWBU aired a story about the return of microbreweries in Waco. In 2012, the microbrewery industry represented a $2.3 billion economic impact for the state of Texas. And here in town, Bear Arms Brewery is contributing to that growth, and in the coming months, Brotherwell Brewing will join them. After the story, we'll have more from the two breweries. We talk a bit about what it takes to get started in the industry, the type of beer they plan on brewing, and if microbreweries are finally here to stay in the heart of Texas. This story originally aired July 6th, 2015. Inside an expansive industrial room of a nearly 6,000 square foot building in downtown Waco, Jacob Martinka unlocks a hatch and opens up a sliding door to mitigate the heat inside the space that will become Brotherwell Brewing. Martinka, along with David Stoneking and Tommy Moat, have been homebrewing for years and wanted to sell the beer they made. That led the trio to create Brotherwell and set up shop in a fledgling market where craft breweries operate in a largely underserved area. The 28-year-old Stoneking says that while everything may be bigger in Texas, the state's microbreweries are still working to catch up.
The whole craft beer movement has really been taking off nationally over the last 30 years. And it's taken a while to trickle down to Waco. And so I think the folks who have come before, who've come and gone brewing in Waco in the last three decades, they were on the early end. I think the market wasn't quite right. The interest wasn't there. The awareness wasn't there. And certainly the laws weren't there to help.
Stoneking and others are quick to point to recent legislative changes in Texas that they say have contributed to the growth of microbreweries across the state. In 2013, the 83rd Texas Legislature enacted laws that redefined licensing for breweries in Texas. In the past, Texas legislation prohibited manufacturing breweries from directly selling their product. Any samples given had to be free. Now, those breweries can sell up to 5,000 barrels on site. In addition, so-called brew pubs, which could previously only sell their product on site, are now allowed to sell to distributors as well. These legislative changes also helped Keith Collier to set up Bear Arms Brewery, which, when it opened earlier this year, became the only local brewery in the greater Waco area since Scars and Stripes Brewery stopped operations sometime last year. Collier, who's the president and brewmaster of Bear Arms, says it's difficult to get into the brewing industry, but the paths have opened up.
The industry just really wasn't there yet. And with the craft beer explosion growth over the past several years, it's just really, you know, been highlighted that there's nothing around in Waco. Or McLennan County.
Before the short-lived Scars and Stripes, a veteran-backed local brewery that never really gathered much momentum, there was the Bosky Brewing Company, which was open in the late 90s. Other than that, microbreweries have been few and far between in Waco. But in Texas as a whole, where more than 980,000 barrels of craft beer were produced in 2014, the industry is growing. According to the National Brewers Association, in Texas, craft beer had a $2.3 billion economic impact in 2012, second only to California. But Charles Vollenrot, the executive director of the Texas Craft Brewers Guild, is quick to offer this caveat when discussing these statistics.
Though we have some good absolute numbers, you know, we have a very large number of breweries, we have a very strong economic impact from our breweries. When you look at those numbers at a per capita level, given the size of the state of Texas, the number of people, resident in the state of Texas, our numbers fall.
Vollenrot says he focuses on this metric not to highlight Texas's struggle, but to underscore the Lone Star State's opportunity for growth. And with one microbrewery already opened up in Waco and another on the way, the development of a local craft beer culture is becoming clearer. Justin Veach is assistant brewer and partner at Bear Arms Brewery.
It's going to be cool to have Waco go from zero to two. I mean, I'm excited for us. I'm excited for them because I'm excited for Waco. At the end of the day, Waco is now going to have two craft breweries open within a year from them not having nothing.
In this first interview, I talk with Jacob Martinka and David Stoneking of Brotherwell Brewing. So there's more than one type of license for a brew pub. Is that right, David?
Yeah. So we are applying for a brew pub license, and that will allow us to produce and manufacture beer to be sold elsewhere at local venues, bars, restaurants, pubs, event venues, things like that. It also allows us to sell on-site. So we will have a small tasting room. It won't be a full bar that's open all the time, but it will be something that we're thinking will be open on the weekends. We're certainly going to be doing brewery tours on the weekends where folks can come by, see all the equipment. We'll walk them through the whole process of beer making, and they will be able to taste our beer here and hang out and have a good time. Hope to have some food trucks around and live music if possible and a lot of that. We're not running a kitchen. We don't have any kitchen. So even though technically we have a brew pub license, we're not operating as what you'd expect a brew pub would be with a kitchen. We are operating as a manufacturer.
And is that because the brew pub license gives you more flexibility?
Yeah. So on the small scene, there's a three-tier system of alcohol legally. And you can be a producer, you can be a retailer, or you can be a distributor. And it is a way, it's post-prohibition era laws that are still on the books, but are slowly being loosened up. So the Texas legislature is catching up with other states in the country in loosening some of these restrictions to give young craft breweries a real chance in the market against the established giants. And that's one of the things that they loosened up is now with this one license, we can self-distribute, we can sell on-site, and we can sell to retailers. So all three of those tiers we're dipping into, and that is something that before 5 years ago, we would not have been able to do. But our whole business model is based on that now.
Do you think the loosening of these laws helped establish and create a stronger microbrewery presence in the state of Texas?
Yeah, I think I've talked to brewer friends from just sort of across the, I guess across the nation sounds kind of sweeping, but when I told them of our plan for Brotherwell, they said, okay, and how many breweries are in Waco right now? And I said, zero. And he said, what? How's it? I mean, I'm from up north. We've got like five breweries in a small town, you know? So I think that the loosening of the laws is sort of allowing for the smaller breweries to come in and just have a local presence, I think, is the important thing.
And before y'all, and before Bear Arms, there was the short-lived Scars and Stripes and the Bosky Brewing Company in the 90s, both of which didn't make it. What do you think has changed since then? What makes today a better market to get into?
The whole craft beer movement has really been taking off nationally over the last 30 years. And it's taken a while to trickle down to Waco. And so I think the folks who have come before, who've come and gone brewing in Waco in the last, even the last three decades, they were on the early ends. I think the market wasn't quite right. The interest wasn't there. The awareness wasn't there. And certainly the laws weren't there to help. And now that the laws are loosening up and the craft culture is more ubiquitous, I mean, everyone knows what craft beer is now. And everyone is... or has tried it. Some are more willing than others, and that's okay. But I think the combination of the legal restrictions and the social awareness of craft beer, and really everyone's developing a taste for it, all of those have led to this being a real sweet spot for Waco to be getting into the craft beer movement.
So right now, we're actually in the space that will become Brotherwell Brewing. Can you describe a little bit of the layout for me?
So, on this wall behind you, right on Jackson, we'll have our brew house, which are the two vessels that sort of cook the grain and then boil the liquid that we get from the grain. That will then be cooled down, and it will be put into fermenters that will be along this wall and right in with these pillars. So we'll have 15 barrel fermenters and 30 barrel fermenters. And we'll have our grain room over here where we will move our grain from big 50-pound bags of grain to, and we'll crush it up, and then we'll move it to the mash, which is where we cook the grain, essentially. And that's sort of the situation. From the fermenters, we'll carbonate the beer, and then we'll transfer it to kegs, and then we'll put those kegs into a big cold box over here in the corner, and from there we'll ship it out the door. We'll have a door right there, big overhead door. So
we'll have a wall basically here, and then this will be, like Jacob said, the cold box or a big walk-in cold storage. But this will be our pub space. So we'll have a bar here and tables and chairs, doors, windows that lead to this outdoor backyard area. And so when we're doing brewery tours, we're excited to have people coming in. We'll walk them through, we'll explain what all the tanks do. And these are tall, 12, 14 foot, 5 foot wide tanks that are cool to see, and I think are pretty impressive for folks who are new to the brewing industry. But we want people to be able to come in, see all the tanks, see all the equipment, get a good understanding of what the beer process is like, the brewing process is like. Come by over here to the pub space, be able to taste different things, try some new beers, things that they haven't had before, walk outside, and we hope to have tables and chairs out there, music, and it be a very fluid, easygoing, relaxed atmosphere where people get to experience craft beer.
Okay, so you have like a patio sort?
Yeah, yeah, we can walk around. Once in the next few months, as they're doing construction, they'll be knocking out doors and windows here so that you can see it and walk in and out. So.
And what's been the most difficult part of this process? I can imagine it's not easy getting a microbrewery off the ground.
Yeah, I think maybe the hardest part is realizing that it's not just home brewing anymore. It's a professional business that that comes with a lot of licensing. So going from home brewing to the actual professional side of it comes with just a lot of attachments that I think we expected, but we didn't necessarily expect sort of the magnitude of it. One is a hobby and the other is a business, and it's important to realize the difference there and adapt.
Do you all think that
I was just gonna say along that, we've discovered that we got into this because we wanted to brew beer. We wanted to sell the beer that we brewed. And now we've been forced into the world of entrepreneuring, and that's not our gift. We're not out there to start a company because we want to start companies. We're doing what we can and what we have to in order to be able to sell beer. Putting on that other hat has been a new experience for us.
Also new to that process are Keith Collier and Justin Veach of Bear Arms Brewery, which already opened earlier this year. I spoke with the two at the Bear Arms Brewery at 2515 LaSalle. When did you two first think of growing from microbrewery enthusiasts to microbrewery owners?
That actually took a while.
Yeah.
I mean, we started homebrewing shortly after 2009. What do you want to say, 11, 12?
Late 10, early 11.
10, yeah. So 10, 11, we started homebrewing a little bit just because, I mean, it was kind of kicking around like, okay, my father was talking about, it looks really interesting, maybe some other time eventually get one of those homebrew kits and all that, and said, that looks really cool, and you would never know unless you take that step, you buy the little homebrew kit, and you try it and see what happens. And immediately after my first brew, I was like, hey, Justin, you've got to get one of these kits. You've got to try it. This is the coolest thing ever. You can brew your own beer. And, he did it, and I went over there and helped him with it, and we just loved it. I mean, we went from the extract kit to all grain recipes within a couple brews, and just loved the science and mechanics of just fixing the equipment, trying to get things plumbed up the right way, and brewing, and just had a huge interest in that. And we developed the same recipes that we're using today through that process, but we only had friends and family kind of try it, and you know, friends and family, they're biased. They're going to sugarcoat things, say, yeah, that's good. I don't really like that, but no, it's good. So we started taking it to the Dancing Bear, a little bit of homebrew and getting some homebrew.
The Waco Homebrew Club.
Yeah, and the Homebrew Club. We took it over there, and a lot of people were like, this is good beer, guys. I mean, this is nice. But we didn't really get that kind of bug of, you know, we've got to do something for Waco until, I think, what was it, Austin Beer Works? I mean, we're trying to get somebody, an actual brewer, yeah, tried some of the beer and said, you know, guys, this is one of my favorite Berliners from homebrew. You guys got something good. And that was, I mean, we deeply respect a lot of the brewers from the industry. And having someone like that say that really kind of, you know, picked us off, saying, okay, look, Waco has nothing. So about around that point is when we started deciding we need to do,
this is what we eventually want to do, so we need to start, you know, making sure our recipes are exactly what they need to be. So, you know, a lot of people homebrew, they'll brew once a month, and then they'll brew 3 months down the road. You know, we were turning back a couple batches out a month because it turned into a little bit more than a hobby. From a hobby to, this is what we want to do. We want to eventually do this. Did we have a date in mind? We need to be ready by then? No, but we knew that we wanted to take our recipes and we wanted to go further with them. And a lot of our recipes were, you know, we're both engineers, so we both like to see the, go through the workings of it. And we're like, okay, what if we change this small part of the recipe? Or what if we put these hops in at this time? You know, those little variations change the beers, you know, and sometimes it could be drastically. And we tinkered and we continued to tinker until we got the beers the way we wanted them to be.
Some breweries have a style or type of brew that's supposed to reflect their town, and it comes down to the ingredients they use. Do you have something like that here that says, this is Waco?
Yeah, and a lot of places do that. If you go to Colorado, it's like every little city or every little borough you go to has their own microbrewery. And they will stay like that and continue to be like that through this supposed bubble that people think that there is with this craft industry. I think everything is going craft, though, so there's not going to be that bubble. Right now, we don't necessarily have anything explicitly that says, you know, this is Waco, but it's something that we're going to pursue going forwards. We've tentatively talked with Cameron Park Zoo about being kind of a feature with their Brew at the Zoo this coming October. And I've talked with Christy there, the representative, when we want to get her in here to talk with her some more about that event. But we want to brew them a special beer just for that event. So this will be like a Cameron Park Zoo special, and it may be for that event, and we won't ever have it in here available. So it would kind of be one of those special things for them that maybe we bring it back for the next year if they invite us back. So we want to do different things that are Waco specials as we move forwards.
And in your time in Waco, how has the microbrew culture grown or changed?
We've seen, you know, Waco craft beer grow from, you know, like I said earlier, from gas stations having one or two offerings to now having a full bay or two with it. Our new HEB right across the street at, you know, Valley Mills and 35, they have a full aisle that's entirely craft beer. You know, 5 years ago, we weren't going to get that. You know, it just wasn't there. And now all these other restaurants come in and help it out. You know, you got BJ's Brew House that's serving craft beer, and we didn't have that 5 years ago. So nobody knew about that. So obviously you get more of the public trying more of a craft, there's going to be more demand. So as we get more new restaurants in town or more bars that are starting to carry craft, you get new people introduced to it, and they stop drinking the more regular style beers and they start requesting craft.
Yes, I mean, definitely there's been an explosion of growth in Waco, as well as just anywhere in Texas. I mean, over the past few years, it has gotten very insane with the growth. I mean, honestly, I think now over the states, it's every 20 minutes a brewery or brew pub is opening, or at least getting licensed. And I mean, especially in Waco, we have definitely seen it increase a lot. Not just because it's a college town, but honestly, like Justin was saying, with every restaurant that kind of comes in. BJ's Brewhouse, Buzzard Billy's, Torchy's, all these places are coming in that are bringing craft beer to Waco. Dancing Bear Pub has been here for since 2004?
I think they've been 8 years.
So 8 years, okay. So 2007, 2006. I mean, their customer base has just grown quite a bit, not just from the college industry, but everyone, professional, young professionals, and public. I mean, it's just have been getting a greater appreciation of the craft beer.
And it's the way they do things, too. I mean, the owner of Paxton Dove, you can pretty much go into any craft beer place in the state, and someone's like, oh, wait, do you guys know the Dancing Bear? You go there, it's like Paxton's known everywhere. So he's doing a lot for craft beer, not just for himself, the Dancing Bear, but for Waco itself as well. You know, they host it, or they help do Pints in the Park, which is the first annual thing. You know, that's put on by the Waco Parks Department. You know, they help do that, and they're helping themselves, and they're helping everyone else into town. They're paving the way for us to come in there and sell to them, sell to these other retailers, and you know, he's doing a lot of good work for the town, and we hope to continue that.
Right. And so was that the first Pints in the Park?
That was the first Pints in the Park. Yeah, okay. That was the first one. You know, previously the Dancing Bear would do like a craft beer festival in the spring, but they had never done an event like that. Okay. I know Jonathan Cook is the rep that we worked with from the Parks Department, and really good to work with. And I know he might be able to answer a few questions for you about what he did to get that that event put on.
And Keith, can you tell me a bit about some of the beers you have here on tap already?
Yes, these are our four flagships. So we have an American Lager, Lux Lager. Turbulence is our IPA and India Pale Ale. Nebulous Tart is our Berliner Weiss. And Java Jewel is our Chocolate Coffee Stout. We tried to go for a wide range of beers just to be approachable, and kind of our direction with these four flagships is all of them are approachable. We wanted to kind of tune down a few things and have full flavor beers, but we want someone to come off the streets, anyone, amount of knowledge of craft beer or none at all, and at least be able to try the beer and find one that they like and can enjoy. And that way, maybe they come in next time and say, hey, what's this other blend you have on the wall, Dark Matter? It's got Nebulous Tart and Java Jewel kind of blend together. Let me try that. And we just wanted to keep it kind of community involved, and at least, I said approachable quite a few times, but that was the main goal with those, is to keep them interesting.
So you guys are the first microbrewery here in Waco in a while, right?
Before us, I want to say, what was it, 98?
It was
2000?
The late 90s, right around 2000, there was Bosque River Brewing downtown, and they were there for a few years, but I don't remember what, I mean, I wasn't here at that time, so I don't remember the event or what was the cause that, you know, they closed, but we're the only ones right now. There's a group called Brotherwell Brewing. They're in the process of getting their building up and going through, and going to be following us with their license. And it's going to be cool to have Waco go from zero to two. I mean, I'm excited for us. I'm excited for them, because I'm excited for Waco. At the end of the day, Waco is now going to have two craft breweries open within a year from them not having nothing. So I'm pretty excited about that.
And yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've met them several times and talked, and we've even pitched forth the idea of having like a Waco collaboration at some point, where the two breweries work together, possibly with other local industries, distilleries or wineries, to try and put together a Waco brew.
Right, because there's the world famous Balcones Distillery here, right?
Yes. Yes, very world famous, yeah. A medal winning whiskey available from Balcones. And I mean, that's great, and that's another thing that craft industry has just kind of brought to Waco, and we're absolutely excited to possibly have the opportunity to work with them on barrel aging one of our beers and producing that.
Why do you think that the distillery has taken off locally, but it's been a bit of a delayed start for microbreweries here?
Waco is typically a more reserved city, and it's just a little difficult to get into brewing, the industry itself. So, I mean, typically you would go down to Austin or Dallas-Fort Worth or even Houston and join up with one of the breweries there. And for us, I mean, this is where we lived, this is where we worked, and we saw the opportunity, and that's why we've tried to go the right way. We've taken a slow approach to it. We've made sure we've gotten through all the processes the right way, made sure we're going to have beer that's accepted. So as far as why has it taken it so long, I would say the industry just really wasn't there yet. And with the craft beer explosion growth over the past several years, it's just really, you know, been highlighted that there's nothing around in Waco or McLennan County.
And, you know, the thing about Waco, and I know we were asked, you know, why Waco, why now recently, and it wasn't, we didn't come to Waco to do this. We came to Waco for other reasons, for jobs and work, but we decided to make Waco our home. So we're doing this now because we want to stay here, and we think that Waco is, you know, ready for this. Waco needs this, and that's why we decided to, you know, we had the ability to do it here. And that's why Waco and why now? Because Waco is ready for a craft brewery. They're, you know, they're more than ready, and they're more than wanting it. So we were able to do that.
That was Keith Collier and Justin Veach of Bear Arms Brewery. Earlier in the program, we heard from Jacob Martinka and David Stoneking of Brotherwell Brewing. I'm Carlos Morales, and this has been Behind the Story. For more episodes from this program, visit our website at kwbu.org.